Hey, before I begin this morning, there are these prayer cards. You probably saw some of them put out in the seats this morning. If you don't have one, grab one. I want everybody, literally, I want to see every person grabbing one this morning. If I don't see you grabbing one, I'm going to come grab it and hand it to you. Corey Knuckles, grab one right now. I feel like a teacher right now, you know? It's like I need to flick the lights or something, get people's attention. But grab one of these cards. Now, this is the question I want you to consider this morning. This is a question I want you to consider. If you knew that you had the same exact power, all of it, that was inside of Jesus, that actually caused him to go to the cross and actually defeat death and come back to life on his own for our behalf, if you knew that power that was in Jesus to defeat death, come back to life, and lead a generation of people that would change millenniums, if you knew that power was in you for 2020, what prayer would you pray? I mean, think about it. I want you to think about this morning because I want those prayer requests to go in that offering box. Because at the end of this month, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer worship event. So prayer and worship event, we're going to start in the morning. It's going to go into the evening. We're going to have a worship experience that night, come together and worship. We're going to have people praying through the night. These are the cards that we're going to pray over. And we're going to be filling these out every week for the next few weeks. What prayer would you pray if you knew that same power that was in Christ is in you? Because I think that we actually ought to put all our prayer requests together like that. If you understood that, you would end up praying prayers that you've never prayed before. You would pray prayers. Have you ever, you've heard the phrase elephant in the room? It's like that moment when you're in a room and there's something on everybody's heart but nobody wants to say it because it's like too big of a conversation. It's the elephant in the room prayer. Like it's too big for you. And you don't want to say it because people will think you're crazy. People think you're nuts. What if you wrote that here? What if you believed that the power that was in you was the same power that's in Christ that took him to the cross, out of the grave, back into the heavenlies, putting his spirit in us, causing this world to be changed? What would you pray? So write that down. If you don't have a card, everybody got one? Everybody got one? All right. Man, we're really on the Spanish this morning. It's awesome. So if you were here, how many of you were here last week? Raise your hand if you were here last week. How many of you weren't? Raise your hand. Okay, so there's a few of us that were, not me, but a few of you that were not here last week. If you were not here last week, you might have heard some murmuring about what happened last week. Actually, you might be hearing some murmurings as to what's been happening in the last few weeks. There has been sort of an elevation of our time of worship together. The messages, the worship, the music, like there has been an increasing power that seems to be showing up every single week as we worship, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes we get into our own staff meetings and we say to each other, can we expect this all the time? Like, we can't fabricate it, we can't make it happen. No matter how hard I plan a service, or how good the songs are, or what we do in that gathering time, we can't plan for what happens in the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit moves among us. I can't plan it. But I do believe we can expect it. Because God's power is always available to us, and it's always here. What happens is when the people begin to be awakened to that power, we suddenly respond out of a natural response rather than a forced response. And so last week, there was this teaching that went on. My son and I had an incredible privilege of speaking up here with my son. First time it's ever happened. In fact, my wife's taking pictures. She thought it was really a momentous occasion, and I thought it was too. But as we spoke, we started to share these words like yada. Everybody say yada. Yada. Hala. not like Hala. Hala. It's H-A-L-L-A-H, or pronounced sometimes H, or spelled H-A-L-A-L. So Halal is another one. Zamar, Tauda, Barak, Tehila, Shabak. And if you came into the room while we were going through some of these words, you probably would have been like, I think I came into the wrong place. This is the same building, but they're saying weird words. They're talking in a different language. That's because that language was the Hebrew language. And the Hebrew language, much like the Greek language, is incredibly deep. One word in the Hebrew often has multiple translations in the English because we don't have a language that actually describes what they're trying to describe with one word. And so all these words, Yada, Halal, Zamar, Tauda, Barak, Tehila, Shabak, you might have actually walked in here and said, this is not my church. These are not my people. But all those words describe one word called praise. So if we just sat in here and talked about praise, you would have gotten walked in and said, praise. Yeah, okay, I get that. But we explained these words, and I want to kind of go back just for a moment, kind of recap this. We talked about it in our staff on Monday, and I asked this question. I said, what do? Do I start a brand new series this week? And everybody said, I think we need to recap a little bit of what's going on. And so that's what today is really recapping about what happened in the last few weeks and why we can not only just expect it, but we can believe that it can actually come into existence all the time, not just here, but more powerfully in your own life, at home, personally. So in 1992, I lived in O'Fallon, Illinois. Anybody been to O'Fallon, Illinois? I was stationed in the U.S. Air Force, stationed at Scott Air Force Base in the U.S. Air Force there, and we started to attend this tiny little church called Cathedral of Praise. And this little dinky church with about 20 people in it, I don't know what drew us to that church, but it was kind of right across the street from where we were living. We were 22 years old, living far away from home and scared to death about these next steps of being in the military and not knowing anybody. And we thought the first place we need to go find somebody is at church. We need to find a community. And honestly, at that time, I literally was not walking with the Lord in deep ways. I was walking with him in religious ways. I would go to church, but I never really felt a whole lot. Most churches, let's just say, that I went to, even as a young boy, nothing against my father's church that he was leading, but I was struggling at times to feel something more than just the actions that we were going through. Anybody with me? In that day in 1992, I remember on a Sunday going to that church and this pastor began to share these seven Hebrew words. And I thought they were weird. Like I literally thought, this is not my Quaker church. This is not some of the hymns we were singing, softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. I don't hear him calling me at all out of this. In fact, this is a little strange. And I thought they were a little too charismatic, a little too out there for me. And they started to go through these words, and then something happened, and I can't explain what happened. All I know is I began to hear these things, and my worship began to change, and I couldn't really put a finger on it. But in my own heart, I thought, this is not my church. This is not my people. I don't need to believe in this stuff. I wasn't raised here. This is not my dad speaking. This is not our church. This is different. And they taught us these postures of praise, and what he was actually introducing me to was something that was already in me. Last week, what we were introducing to you, what is already inside of you. There's power inside of you that would cause you to respond to God in ways you never even imagined if you actually just released yourself to him. And that day, it moved me in such a way that years later, I would not know what the profound effect was. I'd go on for a few years and fast forward to 2006. I'm a youth pastor at this time. I'm leading students. I'm actually now beginning to know what it means to follow God, not just for religious standards, but because I was beginning to feel a relationship with Him. And in 2006, I went to some youth conference, and I got handed a DVD by this band called Hillsong. And it was a worship DVD that showed an experience that happened in Australia that people were beginning to rave about and say, something really amazing is happening in Australia. God is doing some big work, and He's doing it through worship and through students and young people. And it's blowing the doors off of some of these churches down there. So I see this video, and I grabbed this DVD, and there was a time where my wife and my kids, everybody was out of that house. Everybody had that moment. Dads, like when everybody leaves the house, and it's like, whew, it's awesome. It's good for me for about 24 hours, and then I miss my family. But that first 24 hours is really kind of fun. It's like there's a little bit of rest there, right? And I thought, what am I going to do? And I could watch a football game. I could do anything. I could play video games on my son's like Xbox upstairs, whatever it was. I don't think Xbox was around then. But anyways, I'm like, I this DVD was sitting on the table, and I looked at it, and it was like God said, put it in the DVD player. And so I did. Some of you right now are going, what's a DVD, right? It was that long ago. But I put it in the DVD player, and literally, I am not joking, from the very first note that was played and streaming in on my TV, not streaming, playing on my TV, the words in 1992 that I was taught by this pastor at Cathedral of Praise in O'Fallon, Illinois, began to come to the surface of my mind. And I started to see things that were happening in that worship service that he explained on a morning. Like I started to feel that the music that was going on, just the strings themselves. I don't know if you felt that this morning. There was a moment there where Micah was just playing on the strings, and suddenly the atmosphere started to change again. I felt it, and I felt it on a TV that day, and that first one was Zamar. The instrument started to change, not the atmosphere in front of me at a TV, but it began to change me in the room by myself. Like charismatic goosebumps are going up and down my spine. Hairs are raising on the back of my head. I wish I had those hairs today. But then suddenly, like these worship leaders that I saw on the TV started to like spin and dance. They started to act foolishly and clamorously. They started to act a little strange to me. And yet suddenly I began to spin in the room, and I began to dance before the Lord by myself. Halal. That's the Hebrew word for that. And then there was this silhouette of hands. I have these on the screen back there, everyone. Putting them up. So I begin, you know, that the one you were on, Yada, is the one I want to go to real quick. That silhouette of hands. As I begin to even look at an image like that, I begin to see like this light that is behind, and it's, people are raising their hands to the light of Jesus Christ. And I began to see this on the TV, and suddenly as I'm sitting there spinning and dancing a little bit foolishly all by myself in a room, and I don't care because nobody's watching, and then suddenly my hands go up. And I began to respond with my hands in the air, and then suddenly in between songs, like people aren't singing, but the music kept playing. That's what was happening when Micah was playing and Jake began to play, and there was no voices going on, and then all of a sudden you began to hear people begin to sing songs that aren't the songs that you were singing. They just began to like almost pray prayers that are inside their soul, and they began to actually sing those prayers out, and suddenly it began to sound a little bit like gibberish all over the room, but it sounded so beautiful, and it was one song. And I began to pray that day out loud and sing songs of praise to my Father that came from my heart, and it wasn't words on a screen. And they call that Yada. Or they call that Tauda. And then the next one was Barak, where suddenly there was a girl. I remember this vividly. First time I had seen it in a worship service, the girl literally left the post of her piano. She was playing the piano, just sitting there playing the piano, and all of a sudden she just leaves and she just goes like this. And she just totally bows. And my knees dropped. And I began to bow before the Father. Now I'm acting a little strange. And then it went from Barack to singing this brand new song over and over to Hila. This song that I had never, ever heard that sounded a whole lot like an old hymn that I had sang for years and years. And it kind of went like this. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. See, you know it. That day it was new to me, but it sounded like an old song that my soul had been singing. You see, that right there is Tehillah. And then there were shouts that were given. There was elevations of people's voices just starting shout out, praise and worthy to the Lord, and acting foolishly, but unashamed. I worshiped that day in that room like I had never worshiped before. It was like seemingly God reached out of a TV from Australia somehow and got a hold of my heart in a living room here in Arvada, Colorado. So what happened in 1992 to me moved to 2006, and it moved to last Sunday. And if you were here, my guess is either you really got it and engaged it, or you had a whole lot of question marks and doubts and went home wondering what was going on. And I'm here to tell you it's not going to go anywhere. It's staying. So either get used to it, to the power of the Holy Spirit moving among us, or just get used to it. That's your only two options. Get used to it or just get used to it. One of the two. Because God is on the move here. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting. So what happened last Sunday? Why the powerful response? These are the actual questions we began to ask in staff on Monday. Why was it so different? Why has it been different? Why so much power? Why last week did we get to the point where we didn't want to stop and suddenly I looked at the clock and it was 20 after 12 and everybody's going. In fact, one person came up to me afterwards and said, and this is somebody who's new here in the last 6 months. He said, you know, time flies when you're having fun. And I said, yeah, I was really having fun. He goes, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us. He goes, that sure was fun. He said, I've never been in a service where I ever, like, I didn't look at the clock. It just happened. Songwriter tells us why this happens. In Psalm 33, verse 1, it says, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. I love how that says let, like you're allowed to. We need to give allowance for people to sing to the Lord. We need to make space for it. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting. Everybody say fitting. Anybody get any new jeans or clothes for Christmas and they didn't fit and you had to take them back? This fits us and you don't have to take it back. It's staying. You're going to keep it. You're going to put these clothes on. The spiritual clothes of God's glory. And it says, it is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord. So there's that word praise that you can translate into all seven different words, right? Praise the Lord. So how do you praise him? You praise him by posturing yourself on the ground, by raising your hands. You posture him by shouts of praise. You posture yourself in ways that maybe are uncommon to who you are. And it just comes out of you. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Now, we don't have a harp or a lyre. Anybody have a, and I'm not talking about liars. We have plenty of liars in the room, but we need a lyre as an instrument, right? I guess that's how you pronounce it. Is that how you pronounce it? Lyre? Lyre? Whatever. Nobody plays it. So we could easily translate this into today by saying, praise the Lord with melodies on the guitar, the piano, and with the drums. And may we play skillfully. This is why they train. This is why they actually work on this stuff. As the worship leader shared a few weeks ago, we work hard at this stuff because their skill promotes the atmosphere by which God wants to bring here. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For, listen to me, this verse 4 is huge. For the word of the Lord holds true. And when it holds true, we can trust everything that he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of God fills the room and the neighborhood and the earth. So here's what happened. Do not discount what happened last week or the weeks before. Because Pastor John said at staff on Monday, he said, let me just tell you what happened. You spoke the words that God wants to speak into existence, into our church. The word of the Lord was taught. 7 Hebrew words were taught. 7 Hebrew words were shared. This is how we act. This is who we are. This is how we experience his presence. This is how we respond. And so when the word of the Lord goes out, guess what happens when God's word comes out of his mouth? He creates. He creates. The word of the Lord holds true. That's why it says, let the people sing, because it's fitting and it's pure. Praise him with melodies and guitars and stringed instruments. Sing a new song like it's an old hymn. Sing a new song and play skillfully. And not that you're supposed to get rid of the old songs. You bring the old songs back like new songs again. Right? We put them both into the room. And God actually recreates and recreates and recreates. My son, just a few weeks ago, he comes up to me and he tells me, he goes, man, have you ever heard that song, Majesty? He's like, it just came out a couple weeks ago. It was really amazing. I mean, this was probably a year ago they said this. I'm totally lying. But he did. Like a year ago, he's like, yeah, Jeremy Riddle sang this song called Majesty, and it's amazing. I'm like, yeah, that's an old one. It is? And it's amazing that when you sing the old songs and you bring them back into the new, suddenly the old songs become new and the new songs become old again. It's really, really good what God is actually doing, because this is what he does. It's not about the song. It's about his words. It is about his words. It's what comes out of his mouth, out of his economy, out of his power into our existence. And when he speaks, it comes alive. And when he speaks, you can trust everything that he does when he speaks. So verse 6, it says this. The Lord merely spoke. Like, that's a small deal. He just merely spoke. Hey, how's your day going? Good. I mean, the Lord merely spoke to me, but other than that, it's good. Merely spoke. Like, the God of the universe. The one who created everything that we see. The stars and the planets and the universe and galaxies beyond our visual understanding and cognitive understanding. He speaks. And it says, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word. So let me just say this. Last week, if you were here, it was like God said, and everybody in this room who was willing to hear it and feel it went, and you let it go. In the room, like was on fire. So good. We left our kids in the room last week, and somebody said, and Rhonda said, I just want to hear my son and you speak. I want to hear you guys speak together. Can we bring the kids in? And I thought, yeah, that'll be all right. I'm sure it's going to be loud and a little bit distracting. How many of you were distracted by kids last week? You want to know why they weren't distracted by him? Because the Holy Spirit and the Lord went, and those children were going, inhaling his presence and exhaling it in community, and people felt it. Because the word of the Lord holds true. Merely spoke. This is what happens when the Lord speaks. The heavens are created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans and vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. Isn't that good? For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. Every time he speaks, he recreates. And every time you're listening, he recreates, because he's always speaking. He's always speaking. So literally, through seven Hebrew words, God breathed on us. Here's my thing for you. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till 10:30 on Sunday mornings. Because the power that was in here is the same power that was in Jesus that took him out of the grave and into divine existence as man, and then left this planet, leaving all that power through his Holy Spirit into his people to go and do the work that he had been doing. That same power that was here on Sunday is the same power you have available to you on Monday and Tuesday. And Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And if you fill up on that, on those weeks, on those days, and you come back here on Sunday, the room is elevated again. You go fill up with his presence again by yourself on your own. You worship him like you've never worshiped him on your own, and suddenly the atmosphere of this place changes, not simply because of a guitar, but because of human hearts are being transformed. And when your heart is transformed, it's transformed in such a way that people actually here will see it. They just talked about that downstairs. Group of people sitting around a table saying, God doesn't have you do good things so that you actually become good. He's not a cosmic slot machine where you actually follow him so that you will actually do good things so that he will actually bless you. I used to think that. No, we let the Lord bless us and fill us so that we can go out and be a blessing to Phil. And you're like, who's Phil? I know. Some of you like practical people. Like, who's Phil? No, we're going to go out and fill the earth. We're going to go out and fill neighborhoods. We're going to go out and fill our homes. We're going to go out and fill the streets with the praise, the seven Hebrew words. So here's the question I want to ask you guys. Actually, let me phrase it with this passage right here. In Ephesians 19 through 21. And I'll say this. God never needs to exaggerate. So if you thought that last Sunday was an exaggeration, people coming here and just it was overly emotional and people like, oh, there's just, you know, you're just promoting emotionalism. Listen to me. God does not need to exaggerate. You might need to, but he doesn't. And do you know how he exaggerates? With his power. And when his power is here, you know when it's real. And last week, it was so real. He doesn't need to exaggerate to prove his point. His power proves his point. So Ephesians 19 through 21, 19 through 21. This is the actually couple passages that are anchoring this series as we go into the next few weeks. Because this is what I pray for you for 2020. This is what I believe is happening here. So as I said, speak peace into existence, speak his power into existence right now, today. And let the next 63 days, 62, 61 left in this year, let every day be modified and created by his power. It says, I also pray, and this is Paul to the church of Ephesus, he says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's, everybody say it, power. Okay, nobody's listening or watching the screen. Power. Don't speak it in Spanish because I don't know what that is yet. Somebody say it in Spanish. What is power in Spanish? Huh? Okay. Awesome. Incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power, the same exact power, this is what I've been telling you, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, everybody say now. Now, what does that mean? What does now mean? Right now. This moment, today, where you are today. I don't care what questions or doubts you have tomorrow. I'm saying today, whatever you think is impossible tomorrow, right now, he's saying, I have the ability to let you do it. I have the power in you already available to you. And he says, now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. So I don't know what scares you right now. I don't know if the whole war in Iran scares you right now, because it scares me just a little bit. I don't know what you think about your family and what scares you about your family. I don't know what you think about your personal health in 2020, what scares you, what ails you, because whatever ailed you in 2019 didn't overcome you because you're here. So why don't you get that into your brain right away, that you are bigger and better than anything that'll come at you in 2020 because of the power that is in you. He is in you, and he's able, not you. You're unable to accomplish all the things that you never thought you could accomplish. You're exactly right. You'll never accomplish those things. But he is able within you to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or ever imagine. So dream big. Dream big. Dream big. And dream it with your prayer life. And dream it with your worship. And dream it with your halal. Dream it with your shabak. Dream it with your yada. Dream it with your praise. Dream it with what God puts in you, and get on your face before the Lord in 2020. And I promise the atmosphere will change like a guitar can change the atmosphere. The incredible greatness of God's power. Immeasurable greatness. Anybody know what immeasurable means? Yet you can't measure it. So dream immeasurable dreams. Now, whatever's on that card, you might want to get a new one and erase it and rewrite it. I want those cards in that offering, because I want those cards to be achieved in 2020. And I'm gonna speak them into existence. I'm gonna speak them into existence. And even the ones that you think that you are gonna put out there that maybe on December 31st, 2020, they didn't come true, it doesn't mean they're not coming true. See, we put time limits on God's grace, and God doesn't live inside of time. You just keep praying, and you never give up. You don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. So here's a question for you. When was the last time that somebody reminded you of this truth that is already in you? When was the last time you actually experienced it? Because somebody can tell you something, but unless you actually experience it, you'll never live it. Maybe the first prayer needs to be, God, change my heart to open myself up to the power of your presence in 2020. May I actually see your power for what it really, really is. Fast forward two chapters to Ephesians 3:20. It's like Paul has to reiterate what he just said in chapter 1. Now all glory to God, who is able. Who's able? He is able. Through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think. Now, name three people in your life that actually believe this. Name three people in your life that live like that. Their prayers are never hindered. The goal of this series is not to find those three people. The goal of this series is to transform every single person into this room that actually believes it, just like the three that you're trying to think of. Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. His immeasurable power within you has the power to transform you above and beyond anything you could ask, anything you could imagine, anything you could dream. That's what this series is about. So everything that we just did in worship, I didn't even know we were doing this series until about a week and a half ago. It started to come into my mind and my heart, and I started reading Ephesians, and I literally had a spiritual block, which is really scary for a pastor who can't see what the next week might look like. And God just kept saying, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what's happening right now. There is power working within you that is intended to transform you so that you would pray prayers that are bigger than you. Just write that one down. More power in you to transform you, to pray prayers that are bigger than you. I'm going to invite the worship team. We're going to worship because that makes sense, isn't it? I think the scripture said it's fitting, and I'm going to let you. I'm going to just let you worship. Is that okay with you? I'm going to let you stay there for a moment. And I want you just to close your eyes. In that peace that we were praying for and singing about earlier, I want you just to ask God again, bring peace right now. Bring peace. Bring peace. And if it's fitting for you, which I think it is fitting for us to open our hands, open your hands. If it's fitting for you to posture yourself in humility and honor by kneeling before the Father, then kneel before the Father. If at any point during this service, and there's this worship time, if for any reason there are prayers on your heart that are beyond the words that are on the screen, you're free to pray those and sing those. At any point when the guitars begin to play and there's nothing going on other than music, you're free to sing those. You're free to sing those songs out to the Lord. And when those songs are no longer scripted, but they're actually scripted by God's heart, God's love, and His power inside of your soul, and it comes out, it suddenly sounds exactly like what God is actually doing. This is why we don't write prayers, because God writes the prayers. Let the peace that passes all understanding guard your heart in Christ Jesus. May you come alive as you begin to worship. You are free to worship as you wish. Posture yourself in a way that is comfortable for you or uncomfortable for you, because both are okay. Dance, spin, act clamorously foolish before the Lord, and maybe, possibly, God will begin to move inside of you in ways that you've never seen before. It's okay. You have permission. This is our church. This is His church. This is the family of God worshiping together.